www.blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
And the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president say. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see?
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cast off. 31 years ago, I would have been a pastor. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. Computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I said we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all as half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got the brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedy off? The big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
I think that we differ from
some other group simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempt to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. Your brother, the soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to broadcast live once again to you right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, this is a privilege. This is a joy. It is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others in this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. We come to you every Monday night. Many of you are not strangers to how we do this, or a stranger, it's your first time listening. We want you to listen up close, because we're not going to cut any corners. This is a straight note chaser. This is the truth hour. So don't you touch that dial. We come live from the hells and smells of North America with a black man and black woman, young black male, young black woman, young black female is under siege, under attack, and in a state of red, black, and green emergency, open season declared on our people, license to kill given to state law enforcement agencies across the country. And they're exercising their rights to destroy our black race and our people. So, it is important that we work to preserve the race and preserve our people, and preserve our nation. And that's in 2014 by any means necessary. And I know some of you think some of this sounds 1965-ish, 1955-ish. But this is 2014. And in 2014, I'm saddened to say, ain't shit changed. Nothing changed. Nothing changed with the time on the calendar and some of the faces, some of the places. Coming live, give you a live report from Ground Zero, Ferguson, Missouri, where the world has heard that a young brother, 18 years old, by the name of Michael Brown, was murdered in the streets, broad daylight, by a racist cop, Darian Wilson, killed in an alleged struggle, allegedly tied to some cigar, some cigarillo, total distortion of what we've been told on the ground of the facts. So we're talking about the aftermath of murder, and we will talk in the name of Harriet Tubman tonight. And we'll talk in the name of Denmark Vesey. We'll talk in the name of Buchmann tonight. We'll talk in the name of Dessalines tonight. We'll talk in the name of that great Reverend Prophet Nat Turner. We'll talk to you in the name of Robert F. Williams, Mabel Williams. We'll talk to you in the name of the Honorable Marcus Josiah Garvey. Long live Garvey. We'll talk to you in the name of Noble G. Ali, and the Nation of Islam, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and all his students. We'll talk to you in the name of the Black Panther parties, name of Kwame Ture, in the name of Imam Jamil Alameen, H. Rap Brown, in the name of Mukasa Ricks, in the name of Ruba bin Wahad, Black Liberation Army, in the name of Geronimo Jazaga Pratt, Masada Shakur, in the name of the Panther 21, in the name of Louis P. Newton, and Bobby Seale, the Forte Brothers, and Bobby Hutton, and Angela Davis, in the name of Kathleen Cleaver and Eldridge Cleaver, in the name of Charlotte O'Neill and Pete O'Neill, And they were all comrades and all soldiers. Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., Mark Clark. Got to, on this August the 25th, give a revolutionary salute to the fallen comrades who passed on this date. Tommy Lewis and Steve Bartholomew and Robert Lawrence, who were assassinated on this day in 1968. Taken out of here by the Los Angeles Police Department, Black Panther Party comrades, 21, 22, and 18, to bring it home just like Michael Brown. Steve Bartholomew, 21, Robert Lawrence, 22, Tommy Lewis, 18, killed after stopping at a gas station as they were being followed by a Los Angeles Police Department squad car. Broad daylight. Same as Michael Brown. They not thinking that the police would fire on them. Got fired on. And Steve Bartholomew and Robert Lawrence shot down as they attempted to get out the car. They were killed instantly. Tommy Lewis, brave Tommy Lewis, was able to defend himself after being attacked. Later succumbed to his injuries and died after going to Los Angeles Central Receiving Hospital. He was unattended to for 2 hours. There's a man bleeding, a man shot. Left unattended for 2 hours and succumbed to his injuries. These were early victims of police terror. And we know there were more. We give them honor today. On this 25th of August, we honor all the victims of police terror, misconduct, and abuse. It's a state-sponsored terrorism. We call it what it is. We've got to call it what it is. We send you greetings from all of our chapters, from our National Central Committee, all of the members of the National Central Committee that make that up here in the new Black Panther Party, all of our membership. We're honored to all of our leadership from our foundation in 1989, Aaron Michaels, Dallas, Texas, the founder. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to Michael McGee in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the alderman, the revolutionary, from a Black Panther Party member. We give thanks to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and his work in the new Black Panther Party. Give thanks to Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz and his bold efforts in the new Black Panther Party. Give thanks to our chairman, Mr. Hashim Nzinga, who will be joining us right about the 9 o'clock hour as he'll tell you his experience in Ferguson, Missouri, and what's happening, and he'll give you his report on today's events, the funeral, and all that type of thing. But I'm here to tell you, from my vantage point, it's a damn circus. Damn Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, Universal Soul Circus. Damn circus being made out this young man's assassination in the streets. And some of you no good Sambos got a lot of nerve to posture and position yourself in front of a camera after you haven't done no damn work. Haven't done a damn thing. Ain't been under no fire. Ain't been under no possible arrest. They ain't did nothing. You should position yourself in front of a camera for a damn photo op. Like some stinking slimy ass politician. Just so you can say, I went to Ferguson. I was at Ground Zero. I was at Ferguson. See the pictures? The whole time. Trained, committed, new Black Panther warriors entrenched in Ferguson, working to organize our people, as the media has now reported, protect our people, and help them to take a position of not docile, a docile position, I'll just say that, to take a position that's strong, take a position It means some organizing in the streets for complete change. If we buried Michael Brown today, Mike is in the ground. But there's other Michael Browns and Michael Brownettes that we must protect by any means necessary. Some of y'all think this is a game. And you want this stuff to just go away. You thinking that if you, play hard enough, meditate hard enough, or wish hard enough, or Facebook hard enough, or tweet hard enough, or whatever you're doing hard enough, I guess you think it's just going to go away. But I just read to you about Steve Bartholomew. I just read to you about Tommy Lewis. I just read to you about Robert Lawrence, who were killed in the same manner on this very day in 1968. By police in Los Angeles. There's a police problem in the hells and snares of North America. Rogue police fuck wild in the hells and snares of North America. And this is part and impartial because a lot of you out there, because you didn't know how to respond to the black-on-black violence, you in your ignorance pushed for extra policing in the black community. He said, put more troops in. Put more police in. We need more police presence. If there were more police, we wouldn't have so much crime. That's what some of you were saying out there. But this is what happens when you invite occupiers into your neighborhood. See? It's different when somebody lives in your neighborhood and they take interest in your neighborhood and they're a part of the neighborhood. They do things a little differently. But most of these black communities, they are policed by agencies, members of agencies, internal orders of police officers who don't live there. So they can do their business, get paid off of your tax dollars, your taxation, get paid off your tax dollars, arrest you, beat the hell out of you, shoot you down, tase us, whatever goes on. And they go right back to their homes, away from where you live, that comfy. They don't have to deal with you again until they clock in the next day. Understand, you have invited the dogs on us. You have invited the dogs on the community. So that old slogan of protect and serve, that goes out the window because you're not the ones that are being protected and served. Black people are not being protected and served. It's black people that are being killed and stomped. Black people that are being maimed and mangled. It's happening to black people. Same thing that happened in Ferguson, where there was no real outcry about misconduct or things being wrong until some of them white reporters start getting pushed around and until some of the Caucasian protesters and demonstrators' rights started getting violated. See, y'all forget, the new Black Panther Party was on the ground from the beginning. Long before the celebrities got there, long before the civil rights bunch got there, the new Black Panther Party had boots on the ground from day one. And from day one, black demonstrators, residents of St. Louis, St. Louis County, Ferguson, their rights were being violated from day one just from demonstrating. Just from protesting peacefully. See, you got to understand the protests were peaceful. You didn't hear anything about any clashes in the beginning. You didn't hear anything about agitations in the beginning. You didn't hear anything about Newton and all this type of stuff in the beginning. The original protests were peaceful. The original demonstrations were peaceful. It was only until certain police agitation and occupation came in, that things begin to be antagonistic. And that's the way it is in the black community in general. Things become antagonistic because you get people that's going to now tell you how to protest. They're going to tell you how to demonstrate. They're going to tell you how to operate, where you can go, where you can't go, where you can stand up, where you can't stand up. And if you don't listen to them, they're going to fire on you. See? They can fire on you. Violate all kind of constitutional principles. All kinds of Bill of Rights principles. All kinds of legal statutes. They can violate all of that. But the moment you get mad and some of our people begin to bust something, some of our people get frustrated. Some of the people even, I heard, threw tear gas back and all kind of stuff. Then that's illegal. Now all of a sudden we want to exercise judicial force and power and military might and all this shit. See? The double standard. There's a double standard that our people live under in America that you have gotten used to. And we've gotten used to it unnecessarily. See, it's something in our subconscious and something in our psyche that makes us believe that because we black, we deserve this BS. But as we've been pointing out throughout the week, when this happened on the campus of, what was that? I think it was Penn State. Penn State, November the 9th, 2011, when white folks was rioting and turning things over and breaking things, setting things on fire and doing all of that type of stuff that you display on CNN for Ferguson and the blacks. There wasn't no rebel bullets. There wasn't no tear gas. There wasn't no military might. But none of that shit, man. Only when the blacks get upset and begin to bubble. See, it's something about the black. Something, there's an expectation of black anger, see? When the blacks get mad. But now we have to deal with that with force. That's that old slave mentality. That's that slave master mentality. When the blacks get out of line, we got to put them back in line. We got to whip them into shape. We got to show them who's boss. If you're dealing with some brothers and sisters, you're dealing with some warriors who got the spirit of Garvey in them. They got the spirit of Nat Turner in them. They've got the spirit of Huey P. Newton in them, the spirit of Mabel Williams in them, the spirit of Queen Mother Moore in them, the spirit of Shirley Chisholm in them. We've watched Without Sanctuary, seen how many of our people were hung from trees. That stuff is internalized in black people, whether you like it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it is internalized. And darn every black man and black woman on this planet, and in particular in North America. See, that's why the aggression is there, because you know that when you awake these giants, the energy, the anger, the frustration, the pain of those slaves going across the transatlantic slave trade, going across the Atlantic, being taken back and forth, those slaves who had to jump over the ship into the mouths of sharks, those slaves, their energy is still here in America. And they are angry. And it has manifested in today's black male and black female. Most black men and most black women walk around with an attitude and walk around angry. Why? Because the energy is in them. Energy is in them. They don't know why. Some of them young brothers out there on the front lines protesting and demonstrating, they don't know why they're out there like they are. They just say they got to be. They have to be for the future. They say they got to be out here for the future because they don't want to pass on yesterday into today or today into tomorrow. They'd rather take a stand now. And oppressed people are saying it's time to take a stand now. So we have to talk about the aftermath of murder and what it means when you kill our children down in the streets. What it means when a young man is supposed to be able to go to a trade school or go to a college, and he can't because he has found himself in a freezer, in a city morgue freezer, because somebody profiled him, some cop profiled him, racially profiled him. So some of you have gotten so universal, because black is universal. Being black is universal. But you've gotten so universal that you want to just take the quote-unquote race factor out of everything. You have become an apologist for the police. Well, you say, no, well, he was just doing his job. He didn't mean to do it. And if Michael Brown hadn't had a tussle with him and did this and did that, he'd never be this. So you've become an apologist for the police and an apologist for your open enemy and oppressor. You've become an apologist for white people, white people's actions against you. You've become an apologist. But you don't apologize for your own like that, because you are hard on quote-unquote black-on-black violence. Say, we are our own worst enemy. We doing it to ourselves. We can't blame anybody. The only person we can blame is ourselves. But you don't make that same hard line. You don't take that same hard line when it comes to the cops and the police and the state. Rabid, crazy people who kill us in the middle of broad daylight, just kill us dead. And there's no remorse for it. You don't make that kind of hard line. I'm here to tell you statistically, according to some state stats I read, it said 85% of white people that are killed in America each year are murdered by other white people. 85% of white people who are killed in America are killed by other white people. But you don't hear that broadcast on the news at all. You don't hear that splash before the world at all. It's made to believe that it's blacks doing it. Just like they used to say we were savages and had bones in our noses and were swinging from trees and saying ooga booga. Same thing in a modern context of being criminalized. So that way, either we feed the prison industrial complex and we're used as cheap labor on some prison industrial complex stock line, or when a racist officer shoots us dead in the streets, you will say, well, that's what he deserved. Or what did he do? Same thing happened to Brother Ezell I just read. Same thing happened. Lost his life from another rabid, crazy police officer. Now, we got to talk some real talk tonight, because if we're going to pay taxes for this stuff, because you got to keep yourself, and I got to keep myself in the middle of it. We're being taxed on everything we purchase. Every time you get a paycheck, if you work a job, taxes are being taken out from your earnings, your yearly earning and your gross earning. Being taken out, and your taxes is what pays for public peace officers or civil officers or police agencies. Your taxes, my taxes, pay for that. So every time you have a Michael Brown, every time you have an Oscar Grant, every time you have a Sean Bell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, female included, every time, it is because you and me have paid for it. I want you to think about that and give that some serious, serious thought. Let that sink into the deepest core of your recesses. Every time there's a case of police misconduct, every time there's a case of police killing somebody in the streets, killing somebody somewhere for no reason at all, your tax dollars and my tax dollars have paid for it. In our program, when you read the program of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we tell you clearly that as a nation of our own, under black laws for all black people, for those who understand the beauty and benefit of nationalism, we tell you clearly we want an end to the taxation. See? We want an end to taxation. And some of you, oh, I don't know, I got to get my taxes at the end of the year. But see, your taxes, my taxes, are paying for the murder of black people. You better understand what I'm telling you. Your taxes and my taxes are financing the murder of our people. According to what I've studied and what we have studied, it's supposed to be illegal anyway to have taxation without representation or proper representation. You know you ain't being properly represented as it is anyway. But that being said, it's our taxes, our tax dollars that are paying for these cops to knock our people out, tase our people to death, shoot our people to death, beat and maim and highway sheriffs, beating the hell out of our elder mothers and sisters on the side of the road. It's our taxes doing that. And that should make you feel some kind of way. That should make you feel some kind of way if you're a decent human being. If you have any sense about you at all, if you have any morals about you at all, how can you feel good about being a collaborator in the destruction of those people inadvertently? Inadvertently, all of that tactical equipment, all that stuff is being used on the people to treat the people like dogs and slaves. Big spotlights and all kinds of high-tech weapons being used against the people for taxation. We got to talk some talk tonight and talk about the solution to police brutality, misconduct, the aggression against our people, the war waged against our people. I know we can't get into anything sensitive on these airways because we know we got friends with us, and of course, as you well know, we have enemies with us. But we have to talk some open-air talk and then put into motion some open-air motion, some real motion on the ground to secure some defenses in time against these kinds of atrocities. We cannot afford as a people to keep losing Michael Browns. We cannot afford as a people to keep losing Bernicia McBride's. We cannot as a people afford to lose Oscar Grant's and Brother Ezell's and this one and that one. We cannot afford it. We cannot afford it. The only way you think that that doesn't matter is if you're disconnected from your people. You don't know what Michael Brown would have been. But you out there slandering him, talking about he's some kind of big criminal, and everybody that we know and talk to said he's a big old teddy bear. There's a big old teddy bear. He ran a damn chopped up, edited video. Most don't even believe it's him. But even if it is him, you don't even have the sound plan, so you don't know what happened. You don't know what in the hell happened. You just automatically try to paint the scenario that Michael Brown is wrong and that there's no way that this Dorian Wilson can be out of order. See? Covering for each other. Covering for each other. Even media outlets doing the same thing. Just covering for each other. Covering for each other. He put a lie out there and said that the officer had received a fracture in his eye. His eye was broken, all kinds. Then he had to retract the story. Because that proved to be a damn lie. Proved to be a damn lie, and there was other fraudulent stories floating around out there. Then start putting fraudulent stories out there on the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. You put fraudulent stories out there on Attorney Malik Zulu Sabah. Said he was leading some kind of death chant or something. The man only asked questions. What do you want? Some people say justice. Other people said indictment. Other people say death. Other people say different things. He's an attorney asking a question. But you little good bastards out there tried to make mischief with it. As if the people don't understand what they want. People are angry and people are upset. People are upset. As if this was your babies out there. It was your babies lying in the streets. You wouldn't wait for no damn grand jury. That with all them white folks and just a sprinkle of black. Well, you wouldn't wait for that. If it was your babies out there, you would have been wrecked havoc out there. It's a hypocrite ass. But because it's a black life, let's wait for the grand jury. You want everything to go according to process. You just keep the Negroes in check and trot out some little Negro captain, highway captain, Ryan Johnson. Just trot him out there and keep the Negroes calm. Keep them together. Keep them in line. Don't let them feel no frustration. Don't let them be angry. Don't let them have nothing to say about it. Just keep the Negroes in line, buddy. No good bastards. Lying on the new Black Panther Party. Lying on our national chairman. Chairman Hashim Mzinga. Lying on him. Made some old chopped up interview that he gave after he found out that the Ferguson police chief was having a press conference around the corner and didn't tell nobody about. And he went to see what was going on. Police chief hightailed it up out of there, and the show continued to go on. And our chairman made some beautiful statements, way more than just talking about the Kenyan roots of President Obama, but you chopped that up and want to use that as if there's something wrong with him saying that. Just chopped it up. Just use the media all kind of ways to chop it up and try to make things funny sounding. put some kind of fraudulent story out on me, like I'm Ken Ferguson to cause violence and wreck havoc. Damn, the violence was already there long before I got there. It had nothing to do with the violence. See, no way to do anything violent. Anytime you see me, I was there organizing my people, keeping my people safe, keeping them from doing the wrong thing that would cost them the rest of their lives. Keeping peace amongst us and keeping us focused on justice for Michael Brown. That's not violence, that's intelligence. You call that violence to make mischief. To make mischief. To take the attention away on the fact that peaceful demonstrators, black demonstrators, are being hit with rubber bullets and wooden bullets and even live ammunition. A young woman shot in the head on critical condition. But it didn't make the news. Calling all kind of slanderous and defamatory names. Then he had nerve to say later on in some other fraudulent report that I work for the police, you no good lying devil bastards. In the name of Khalid Muhammad. And some of you fell for that trap. You read all these books about COINTELPRO and counterintelligence and all the tricks they played with Huey P. Newton, all the tricks they played with Elsie Cleveland. All the tricks they play with Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad. All the tricks they play with Marcus Garvey and the UNIA. You read all these books. Some of you in the Black Power movement, the Black Conscious movement, the RBG movement, all these spiritual movements and organizations. You read all these books. But then when the stuff playing out live before your face, you fall for the same old stuff again. Over and over again. But then the devil sit back and say, well, hey, hey, God, they fell for it again. We might as well try it again. It's all for the same old stuff. It's called snitch jacketing. Look it up. Go to the book, the COINTELPRO Papers by Lord Churchill, I think his name is. Check it out. They did this to plenty of people. Just throw something out there on you. Anything. It don't even have to be factual. The fools are so sloppy. Alex Jones and them other devils. So damn sloppy. Hey, put the Asian man, Richard McCoy, put him and linked him in with us, the new Black Panther Party. Richard McCoy was an Asian man who was made to be a field marshal with the Black Panther Party for self-defense in 1966. He worked with Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale and trained them on some of the tactics that he had been through, going through concentration, Asian concentration camps and things like that, having military training and stuff like that. He trained them. So you telling me that a man who trained the Black Panther Party over 40 years ago now is an informant, according to Alex Jones, in the new Black Panther Party? But he's dead and gone. See how sloppy the lies are? When you start to unravel the thread and do your research, instead of just taking things at face value, that's why the scriptures tell you to beware of who brings you bad news. That you harm a people unjustly and be sorry for what you did. Read it. Study. Don't fall for the same old okey-doke. People can just throw things out there about somebody and you say, oh, well, I read it on the website. I see it on this. It must be true. Well, CNN said it. It must be true. See it on NBC. It must be true. Who? Them things don't have your best interest at heart. CNN is not pro-black. MSNBC is not pro-black. Fox News is not pro-black. None of them is pro-black. These old right-wing websites are not pro-black. They're not black nationalists. They're not pan-Africanists. They're not revolutionary. They're propaganda sources. Present me with some damn red flag news ran by this old devil demon named Jim Hoff. Old right-wing bastard. Write some old fraudulent story about me and about us. And some of you took that hook, line, and sinker. Boy, I ain't got nerve to ask me about it. You ought to give that demon hell. You ought to give him hell for the lies he put together. You ought to challenge him on every turn. Him and Alex Jones and the rest of him. The rest of them. That other demon's name. I'm going to get his name in a second. Fox 2 News now in St. Louis. Get his name in just a second. He's spreading lies. Spreading damn lies. Because they're all interconnected. They are all interconnected. And they have to answer to their masters. They have to answer to their higher ups. They can't tell you the truth. They can't tell you what some of the other independent news sources later say about the new Black Panther Party, keeping the peace and keeping the cool amongst our people. That Thursday night and the night we were out there, they tried to flip it. Highway Patrol Captain Johnson tried to take credit at the press conference. He didn't even have any troops out there that night. They put all the troops out. They put all their troops out because Black Lawyers for Justice and our chairman emeritus had served them with a cease and desist order that morning. We served them together with a cease and desist order. And so they elected to pull their troops out, thinking that there would be chaos and craziness. That had a love for Black people and not wanting to see our people walk into a silly situation. We deal with our first general order, say, which to take charge of our post and all Black Nation property in view. And taking charge of our post, we took charge of our people. We made sure that our people were backed up against the yellow line in the right lanes. Made sure the traffic flowed properly. We made sure there were no accidents. We made sure there was no shootings. We made sure there was no fights, no abuse, no nothing. And it was a peaceful night. And it's documented on video. That ain't no violence. Roche Madden, his name, 2 News Now, FBI. That ain't no violence. That's upstanding and honorable. Call it what it is. You're so busy trying to slander the good name of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. You're so busy trying to paint us into a narrative that doesn't fit and doesn't work, that you just throw things together. And then when the truth comes out, you're looking silly as hell. You look silly as hell. That when the new Black Panther Party was out there, it was peaceful. And then when the new Black Panther Party members were not out there, there was chaos. It was havoc, pandemonium. It tells you something. That tells you something. You see, that's too much like right. And we, just like Huey P. Newton said yesterday, don't expect the media or anybody else to paint any positive images of Black males and Black females. We don't expect that. We didn't expect you to do it. It's not even in your nature. But I'm just telling you, you look silly as hell, Roche Madden. Reading that old fraudulent release coming from the state about me and us coming to cause violence, and it was already violence before we got there. It was peaceful once we got there. We stopped the violence. We stopped the violence. We would stop the looting if possible. We stopped it. None of that made the news. None of that was broadcast on CNN. Peaceful protesters and demonstrators fired upon, their constitutional rights violated, their civil rights violated. Many had their babies out there at different points. Clergy was fired on, elderly fired on, old women fired on. They were violated. Most of that didn't make the news. Only concerned about painting a narrative that did not fit and does not fit us. And so now before the world, you look silly, Roche. You look silly, Alex Jones. You look silly, Jim Hart. Trying to save some old fraudulent madness, knowing damn and good and well what you're saying is would have been public record. If I were for some damn police force, that would have been public record, fool. You're so damn slow, you need to think before you put your lies together. so damn slow. Sissy. Just so damn slow and ignorant. Just put anything together because you under pressure to make a narrative and try to make us fit some kind of painted picture. And then the story crumbles and now you're looking silly as hell. And now he's going to hit you behind. A defamation, slander, libel. Any damages, any fault, anything connected to you. New Black Panther Party. I'll press you behind. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and already put it out there against those guilty in St. Louis about a lawsuit. We'll let him tell you about that. That's on that behalf. But you would not be able to keep running our name in the mud. After all of these years of work, after all these years of struggle, after all these years of process, you will not be able to continue to run your weird, fraudulent, silly, biased, unfounded stories against us and not pay the cost for it. You will not be able to do that. You will not be able to disrespect and disrupt and push our people towards jails and things like that and not pay the cost for that. You will not be able to do that. Not no talk. I'm telling you what the people know. I'm telling you what it is. When our people are angry and our people are upset and our people are disappointed, hurt, because our children are being slaughtered in the streets, but yet you treat us like we wrong, you treat black people like they wrong for having feelings, for being concerning, for giving a damn about the well-being of our future, and the best you got to offer is tear gas, rubber bullets, bullets, arrest, abuse. We say, damn it, we got to sever ties with that abusive relationship. It's time for black people to do for self. That's what time it is. If we're going to have policing agencies in our own communities, there must be black policing agencies in our community, period. And when I say black, I don't mean black people whose allegiance is to some blue code or some fraternal order. I mean black people whose allegiance is to the justice of our people, who are tired of seeing our tax dollars go down the drain and into the hearts of our people in the form of tasers and bullets, billy clubs, and warehousing in the prison industrial complex. The aftermath of murder in Ferguson, Missouri. We all heard about Mike Brown. All of us are. We all heard about it. Because no matter what happened, and let's say he did take the cigar, which I don't believe it, he did. But even if he did, what part of him taking $1.25 or so cigar means that it's okay to execute him in the streets? What part of $1.25 cigar means you can ride up on him and say, get the F up on the sidewalk, allegedly, and then try to intimidate him and punk him in the streets? What part of that over a cigar means that he is not to be afforded the same opportunities as some other Caucasian child his age, or some Chicano child his age, or some Indian young man his age? What part of that? There's no part of that. It's unjustified. And I'm telling you, you better prepare, because the way that it's stacking up to get him off, we're already stacking up in the same way Trayvon Martin's case was stacked up. They're stacking his up the same way. And you all have not even paid attention. You haven't even paid attention that the officer in question was fired from his previous job in a different precinct because of the racial tension. The whole department was fired because of the race relations, because of the racist actions of the police in his squad in relation to the black community. So how do you go from that to being able to police in Ferguson? See? You got to connect some dots. You got to connect some dots and understand what you're dealing with. Thinking with your own heart. You thinking with your own mind, and you thinking that people really wouldn't do these kind of things to you. But it's happening. That's why I say you can't wish it away. You can't pray it away. I say wish and pray. Do all of that. But don't stop right there. Get up and answer your wish. Get up and answer your prayers. Do like Harriet Tubman. Do like Sojourner Truth. Do like Marcus Garvey. Do like Frederick Douglass. Do like Denmark Vesey. Answer your prayers. Answer them yourself. Answer them things. You want peace in the streets? The whole cry, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. Well, answer that thing then. Get you some justice. What is justice? The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad used to always say that justice is the reward for good and the punishment for evil. That's justice, the reward for good and the punishment for evil. If you're screaming no justice, no peace, how are you going to answer that thing? You're going to keep begging. Now there's this thing, we want to do this economic boycott and economic strangleholds, which I say is good. I don't criticize that too hard. But I said, let's not get comfortable right there with no economic boycott, no economic stranglehold. Don't you get comfortable right there. And you fools running around, everybody running around with an ice bucket, ice water challenge. My last point. Ice bucket. Ice water challenge. It is August 25th. Only thing we can do in this servitude position that many of our people find themselves in, taking them big old buckets of ice on the back of your little greasy head, shivering up and down the street and shivering up and down your porch, not knowing that there's some funny business with that organization, I think it's ALS or whatever it is. Look at it. Look at the spending record of ALS. You don't know because you don't look at it. You just seen some celebrities doing it. You seen some celebrities doing it, so okay, that's what I gotta do. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's ALS. I'm gonna drop some water on myself in solidarity with this ALS challenge or whatever it is. Just silly. Anything to not do the right thing, which is organize. Our people should be organizing all across America. Organize. That's what Kwame Ture would tell you. That's what Dr. Khalid Muhammad would tell you. That's what Huey P. Newton would tell you. That's what Bobby Seale would even tell you. That's what anybody, Martin Luther King Jr. to Malcolm X to anybody, that's what they would tell you. They would tell you to organize. Organize yourself. Get yourself organized. Boy, I'm telling you, boy, when you bring it, things always happen. I hope that y'all can hear me. They were saying that I couldn't be heard, but we still live, Black Power Radio, and we are preparing to hear our national chairman, and we're preparing to hear your thoughts on this issue and on this topic, the aftermath of murder. Coming live to you from Ferguson, Missouri, our national chairman, General Hashim Zinger, will give you a straight-up update on his thoughts on this morning's funeral of Mike Brown and what it means. And I don't know, I already told you, just, I'm just telling you, once again, it's a clown circus to me. To me, it's a clown circus. You might feel how you feel. You might have your own thoughts about it. To me, this whole thing has been made into a damn debacle in a clown circus. And I think that that's a shame and a disgrace to allow that to happen. And even to Reverend Al Sharpton, who I know and we know, it's wrong of you to lob criticism at the young black demonstrators and protesters. It is wrong of you to launch unjust, unfair criticisms to them. Had they not done what they done, had they not brought this thing into the forefront, you wouldn't know anything about it. And so don't lob criticisms at the young black demonstrators and protesters. Support them wherever you are. And so as promised, I want to bring on a black man who is dedicated to the fight and who has dedicated his life to the liberation and salvation of the black nation. And he has a weighty work on his shoulders. He's been in it for a long time as I'm a national assistant, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, National Chief of Staff, later to be National Chief of Staff to Attorney Malik Zulus Abbas. So starting out of Dallas, Texas, with the African American Metropolitan Think Tank and all kind of works that he's done that you've never heard about. But wherever you are, support him where you are. I want to bring on our National Chairman, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is the General Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
Black Power. Brother Sean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, we put our brother to rest today. And I'm going to just say this. There's nothing like having a mother scream when a son is being lowered to the ground. You know, we know about the Al Sharptons. We know about the Spike Lee, the T.D. Jakes, the Tom Joyners, Dave Bannister. So many people came through. So many people, Jesse Jackson and on and on. And the New Black Panther Party and others. I got to put our name in there, too, just like that. I mean, you can't act like we didn't come through like everybody else, but I'm trying to say it got real, real when that coffin lowered into the ground and you heard that mother scream. And I'm telling you, brother, that made everything else go away except made me think about my son and made me think about if I had to watch him be buried at a young age like that, you know? You're not supposed to be buried out
here. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you this, man. You know, we were in Cincinnati and we watched Timothy Thomas get buried. And Panther Party has been involved in so many of these situations, and we've watched so many young people get buried to the hand of murderous police. And I don't even want to talk about police. I want to talk about us. If we could come together like we come together at these funerals and like we come together at these crisis situations, we might get rid of half of these police killings. You know, we were at the funeral, Brother Sean. It was packed, of course, 2,700 people inside, thousands outside, thousands in the other church. But when the funeral was over and people were going to the gravesite, Panthers started getting pulled over. Panthers started getting arrested. Why are they so hard on the Black Panthers? Everybody was asked. Brother, they see us as a threat. Because let me tell you something, Brother Sean. Whenever you stand up and whenever you decide that you ain't going to take it no more for real,
your enemy can feel it. He can feel the heat. He can feel the little cubs are growing up into full-grown panthers. He can feel that growl. He can feel that bite. And on our path, they say freedom or death. And we might not have the biggest group in America. God damn it, we got one of the most dedicated groups. And it don't take but a busload of panthers to turn America upside down, because of the true reality is these soldiers, I want to tell them all, I love them from the bottom of my heart, as chairman of this party, including you, brother, the wonderful Queen, our National Minister of Information. I want the Panther Party to know we do make a difference. And we are helping change the history of the African in America, believe it or not. Today I saw that more than ever before. And as I know, I didn't get to hear the first of the show, but I'm pretty sure you touched on the website and the new flyer we got out, our plan of action. And I'm so proud of Attorney Malik Julius-Bosley, who stepped to a new position that was really an old position as Black Lawyers suggested. And I'm telling you, in March when he said that, I had mixed emotions. But he ain't lost none of that Panther ground. But for him now to have up to probably over 100 people in this civil lawsuit that he's working in this hour right now with a press conference tomorrow in Ferguson, to now that we were through a class action civil lawsuit for every person in Ferguson that got in touch with us, that they wrong. Wrong with
that's
us
right.
And Attorney Shabazz. And what the Black Power List Congress need to know is Ferguson, if it has 53 police, 3 black and 50 white, 21,000 people, you can break a city, you can bankrupt a city like that with the right civil lawsuit. And what do you think about us owning Ferguson?
Right.
That's what civil lawsuits do to a city. And when that mayor want to be a racist, and the police chief want to be a racist, and the police department want to be racist, when they get to that city account and that CPA, they say, look, y'all might be having fun with your little plan with the African Americans. But if they win this lawsuit, they will bankrupt the city. And they so foolish, that most of their dirt
right.
is on videotape. Most of their dirt, I don't care if it's Fox, CNN, NBC, who it is, everybody will report one thing, that they're breaking every constitutional law there is when it comes to the African Americans and what they're doing to them. And when you was on
that's
the
right.
ground with me, Brother Sean, and when we were on the ground together, the Justice Department was out there handing out cards, and Eric Holder was announcing he's coming in and doing a full, thorough investigation. You think that's a joke?
Go ahead.
So that's one phase that I'm happy with, saying Black Power will be taking these records to the bank. I'm happy to announce they arrested a Panther today for no reason other than he's a Panther. One of the city officers made one phone call, and they released the brother in less than 15 minutes, and we took him on to dinner. We got in today, got out the car, went in the church, sent a brother to pick up the flyers. Before he could get to the flyer shop, he was pulled over, talking about he was under investigation. Just harassing us right at the phone, man. But we know he's an agitator. And we know they know that we the ones not to be played with. And I'm happy to have that position. It's an honor to be chased and stalked by the police for righteous reasons. But it's also an honor to be going in that courtroom with Attorney Malik Lucifer telling them hands off, not hands up. So I'm saying that Black Power Radio, straight up, you hearing the nonsense going on, the Black Panther Party,
sir.
Because today is a peaceful day in Fergus because the mother requested that she wanted this day to be peaceful. So we went and did what we did at the funeral, and it was an honor to help pack our brother Mike Brown's body to his final resting place. And I could just see some things happening, and I could see some things that are going to change. And I'm happy about it, but I also see in the eyes of those young people all around that grave site and all through the church, you can see in them young people's eyes, man, that don't play with us. And we're trying to pay attention to our elders. We're trying to say just don't play with us. Don't play with us. And I'm telling you, Johnny, reminding old Minister Farrakhan told me Khalid Muhammad was a stallion that nobody could ride. Some of our kids are not going to be able to follow instructions, to follow peaceful protests. I'm telling the United States of America, do right by the people. The track record depth of destruction and lies and deceit and deception. The Bible calls you the devil, and the devil seeks to destroy and kill. God's children are ready to fight back. They're ready to fight black. And you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. But we're saying to the radio listening audience, and we're saying clear to the radio listening audience, I said it a couple of weeks ago. This is not about the New Black Panther Party. This is about 450 years of lies, distortion, murder, rape, lynching, free labor, oppression. They want to say this little cracker hung himself because he was depressed. Ain't nobody more depressed in America than the black man and woman.
That's right.
And oppressed. And when you get a person depressed and oppressed, you're seeing a rich millionaire pressure hang himself, talking about he was depressed. Now I'm back to against the wall. We done followed all your rules, you done broke all your rules. We done followed all rules, you done changed all your rules. The wall ain't gonna be left for us to do butt fight. I say today was a day that I don't want to see no more. This young man supposed to be second week of college. His mother supposed to be asking him, how is your college experience? Finally got your butt in college. How is your second week? You feeling more comfortable now? How is your professor? How did it go today? But instead she was screaming over a coffee. And I'm saying to you, Buzz John, you can't go to many more of those sites like that. Can't go to the site like that no more. Can't keep burying our kids at the hands of these murderous police. They need to indict this police, and they need to get them before a jury of our peers. America needs to do right this time. I've seen Troy Davis, father out there. We've seen Trayvon Martin's family out there. We've seen so many, man, who have lost their children and been disrespected by the United States, I mean the United States, criminal justice system. You know? And we had a lot of entertainers join us today. Dave Bannister was out there. Snoop Dogg was out there. My main man and my Conrad and my friend for life, Lil Webby from Pure Entertainment, took the journey across Missouri. People went crazy because the rap world is coming out, man. The rap world voice is going to be heard. The rap world runs these young people. I've seen Jesse. I've seen Al Sharpton. I've seen Tom Turner. I've seen Martin King III. be walking across that graveyard. Seeing all them young people run for Wesley. It's a new dynamic shaping up. I'm going to let my brother.
Yes, sir.
Young Webby have a word what he thought about what went on today out there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. What's up, man? Yeah, everything went smooth, you can't say it went smooth. It's never going to go smooth when it comes to theory. A person, you know what I'm saying? Because that's not good anyway. That was, it don't hurt. But, yeah, like he said, the strongest part, because like, through that kind of situation, it was we lost focus on the bar. He was there, and it was his funeral. It was a thing about police, and then it was a thing about this, and then it was a thing about that, But like we said, yeah, it really made it tough.
Yes, sir. How did it strike you, Webby? What was your initial reaction when you heard about it? Oh, his phone dropped. He lost signal, brothers and sisters. They'll call right back in. That's y'all know the rapper Little Webby from Trill Entertainment. He was dead. A lot of others were dead, so. Listening to Minister Hashim and Zing, our national chairman, and Webby from Children's Entertainment. I think they're back with us. Got back with us?
Black Power, can you hear me?
Okay, we got you back. Yes, sir. Black Power.
I don't know what part did you lose, Brother Webby.
We heard the end of his statement, and then it dropped. I don't know if he was finished or not, though.
Let's get him back on, let him finish, because that was important what he was saying. Oh, yeah. Y'all heard me. Y'all pretty much know me. The people who know me, y'all know how I feel about the situation. And I know it starts with God. We got to pray, and God real, And it's crazy. But like I just heard my man say, you got kids looking up to you and all that. That's crazy. That's a crazy position to be in, But I guess that's what you work for and what you want. So that's why my message to all the kids who everybody ain't going to listen, but go to school, and graduate and be somebody. Don't try to be a rapper. Don't try to be, go to school. And, that's the best advice I can give. But everybody ain't going to listen, so whoever ain't, and you trying to do something, try your best. Try your best. Stay focused and try your best, man. And keep going first, let's see what happens.
Yes, sir. How did it strike you, Webby, when you first heard about it? How did it strike you, hearing about Michael Brown?
When I first heard about it?
Yes, sir. When you first heard about it, how did it strike you?
Here we go again. I ain't really gonna get into all that. Black or white thing, police. Like I said again, somebody. Rest in peace to Michael Brown. And for some reason, I just got to say shout out to Martin Luther King. That's what happened, man. But until we all, like they say, by the character and not by the color, until then, it's not going to change. None of this stuff is going to change. And that's just a fact. Until we start judging each other by our character and not by the color. I'm talking about white, black, Mexican, Chinese, anybody, everybody. So we start, none of this is going to change. That's just my fact of life, Raise your profile.
But that's what it is.
Most definitely. Appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm gonna end it with this. The most important thing is, keep going to heaven, and I'm sure that feels better than anything down here anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's probably just a dream. You know, everybody want to get to heaven. You know what I'm saying? And that's the goal. That's the goal. I can't wait to be there. I'm sure y'all, anybody, can't wait to get there. It's gonna happen.
Yes, sir. We gotta build some heaven on earth while we live. Hope we make that.
Yep.
I appreciate you representing for the hip hop community, and appreciate you representing as a man and a black man. We appreciate you, Webby, for real.
Oh man, it ain't no time. It ain't no time.
Yes, sir. Brother Tim, you see that?
All right, Black Power. So,
Black Power.
You know, Brother Webby is, Brother Webby got a family and children, and he had any looked at in the rap world as an icon, rap world. But our brother is out of now, man, going to the next level, which is trying to undercall life. Starting to be more open in candidates about talking about issues. And I'm just so proud of, because so many of the rappers, so many entertainers want to stay behind the scenes that church should have been full of people, you know, on their handfuls. Brother Webby was gracious enough to get 3 or 4 shows weekend, leave the show and come show support. And, you know, really getting out here, the labels and everything, and not kill entertainment, because when it comes to market folks, church and mail, they ride or die. But to be back there, you're talking about when you're talking about entertainment world, which has so much at stake, billions of dollars. When these entertainers start to show up and to voice their opinion, we know there's change coming. We know there's change coming because people ain't used to seeing Webby in the light of being in the middle of DACA, that our people want to hear from him. And he was out there with the other people all day, and he's trying to figure this thing out like the Black Passport, trying to figure out, because if you black and you live in America, man, it's time to figure it out. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing, Barry and Mike. There's another thing, looking at that video of that brother who got killed a couple of days later with a little pocket knife. He got a mental problem. They got riot gear to cover our community. When it comes to white people, they got negotiators. White boy go in the mall in Nevada, shoot a senator, shoot everybody in the mall, they handcuff him and take him to court. They go and shoot the president Reagan, they handcuff him and take him to court. But when a black man do anything, all the millions of dollars for their training, shields out their car, somebody got a little pocket knife, and they walk toward him with the shield, tase a pepper spray, whatever they need to do, cut our bag up, handcuffs to take him to jail. But all of a sudden, black man is looking like a deer doing deer seat, shot down like a dog all over his country. I'm telling you. Telling you, the hour and a half away from starting something don't want to start. Don't want to wake up to sleep at night. And so the FBI and all that follow back to our radio, telling you. Telling you on the phone with all the police chiefs in this nation. We can't wake up in the morning and hear that. I ain't talking about the new black passport. I'm talking about black people in general. On the race to shot down the ship like us, man, and we know it, and we're tired, man. I'm telling you, St. Louis is taking a stand. I seen something today, man, and I see it here in St. Louis that this country don't want to deal with. That's all I can say, folks. This country does not want to deal with the streets of
Yes, sir.
Hennessy Barnes coming in tomorrow, doing a press conference talking about the civil lawsuit. Tampa will be back in the streets tomorrow. We ain't going to go nowhere. We ain't going to let this die out. Because at the end of the day, Mike Brown was laid to rest today, but ain't there been no indictment. Mike Brown was laid to rest today, but as we wait on indictment, we got 9 whites or 10 whites and 2 blacks in the grand jury. This thing is serious, man. They come back with no indictment. I don't know how the African American is going to take that, man. I don't think it's going to worry for it.
Right. So, it's going to be crazy.
So, people talking about grand jury is just like what started all this, bro. You know, white man, white police shit, on and on and on, on and on and on. You got a situation the same way with this. Anyway, you got a 78% black city, but then you got a grand jury of 10 whites and 2 blacks and a 78%.
They're tripping, right? I'm training.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We're traveling looking at trucks running the trees up there. But it's very serious when you got a 78% black city, and you got a grand jury, 10 whites, 2 blacks. You know, one of the biggest cases that will go down in American history on the racial part.
Yes, sir. Chairman, your phone sounds a little muffled.
This is going to be serious. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
So I say once again, man, we're gonna protect our people. We're gonna defend our constitutional rights, all of them. And we're not gonna let nobody kill our community or kill our people, kill our babies and our women. That's number one. Number two, we're gonna register that community to vote. We're gonna do a recall and get the mayor and the city council out of there and put black people in office. We're gonna get with Mike Roberts and start some economic development in that area. We're going to use Ferguson as ground zero of how we can win. There are a lot of coming out of here. Everybody follow Black Panther Radio. We're going to get the newspaper out and follow the website. We're about to do some things that Dr. Collins is going to be very happy with. The H.R.L. Brown, Dr. Carmike, brother, you know what I mean? And Ivy Wells and some of my ancestors are going to be very happy when I think this turning point for Black America. Really do. But in general, I think we're traveling and we got to get somewhere. I'll let you finish the show and take some calls. I want to tell everybody to stay tuned to Black Power Radio. It's a very, very, very serious hour. We're waiting on this grand jury.
Right.
And, you know, I'm being prayerful that they do the right thing because quiet as it's kept, as black as we are, as militant as we are, as strong as we are, as proud as we are, whether we are human beings in a society, a civilization on a planet like everybody else. We are human beings. We have hearts, lungs. We have organs in our body like everybody else, brains. And we sit in the kill. We sit the Birmingham Chase bombing and falling dead. We sit Malcolm X shot down in the ballroom. We sit King was shot at the Lorraine Hotel. We says Baker Hicks was shot in his driveway in front of the chief. We, this Fred Hampton was shot with Mark Clark in Chicago. We said that late as Tavon We want to see this system that we pay for and that we live under work for us for once. We always got the nature that somebody's going to do right by us. So I'm hoping this time we get a victory for the sake of the parents of a young man who's gone now, who I hope we don't lose focus and get into all the politics and all the celebrities. Lose focus if this young man lost his life. And that's a tragedy. And that's all I can say tonight. Black Power, I'm going to keep up the good work. I'm going to turn the show back over to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Chairman, for your words. Arrive safely wherever you're going. See you on the ground, sir.
Well, I just tell all pastors to follow all 10 rules of order. We're under attack. We're under attack through social media. We're under attack from the FBI. We're under attack law enforcement. We're under attack. That's doing the right thing. Black Power.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, that has been the National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, General Minister Hashim Nzinga. He's in motion, giving live report from Ferguson, Missouri, and the funeral of Brother Mike Brown. And as you heard, it has been a star-studded affair. Everybody all over the country has come around. Of course, we know that Reverend Al Sharpton gave a keynote address, and you know the pictures are out there. But I want to hear, and we want to hear your thoughts and comments. If you were either there at the funeral or you've seen it, and give us your thoughts as well on the policing policies in regards to the Black community, the policing policies, and the solutions to the police misconduct in the Black community. The number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We're streaming live across the country, and we'll begin to take some calls here now. First with area code 347-596, 347-596. You're on live Black Power Radio. In the aftermath of murder. Ferguson, sir, welcome, Black Power.
Peace, Black Power. My name is Precise. I'm calling from the New York chapter under the command of Elijah Judah. And I was calling up. Yeah, peace, Black Power.
Right here.
Right. I'm calling from the New York chapter under the command of Elijah Judah. And I'm calling because, you know, like the national chairman said, we can't allow this to continue to go on. It's up to us to stop it. And by any means necessary, we're going to have to get out there. We got to get on the ground. We got to be active in our neighborhoods. And this non-white jurors and three non-white male jurors and three African-American females. So already they set it up in a way where, you know, that's causing tension right there off the back. And we really have to take action. I mean, it's an urgency. Our children are at stake. Our men are at stake. And it's a war has been declared against us, whether we want to believe it or not. A lot of our own people have been saying negative things in reference to the situation, and they want to, you know, justify it with black-on-black violence. But the first thing, when you justify it with that, you got to look at it and say, what is the root to it? See, they don't really realize the root to all of this stuff. It stems from all of the things that we've been through. And not having our own educational institutions to teach our children the things that they need to know, you know, to not be afraid of these people, because this is what they're doing. When they assassinate a brother, just the way they did Mike Brown, the way they did Ezell Ford, they are trying to instill fear into the masses of black people. When you have these white people, they go up and shoot up these schools and shoot up these theaters, and these people are apprehended. They're not murdered. They're not shot at. They don't do anything to them but cuff them and take them to their right to, you know, to have their fair trial or whatever they call it. And as us as a people, it's time for us to really wake up and get ourselves together and unite, because we're going to have a problem if this thing, this jury don't come back with the right decision.
Black Power, according to what we're looking at, I mean, we have a problem even if the jury comes back with the right decision.
Right, because this is ongoing. You're absolutely right, Brother Quayle, because as a matter of fact, it just so happened that because of social media, it was allowed for this and Trayvon to come as publicized as it is. But this has been an ongoing issue. Just like you named the brothers of the fallen comrades from the 60s, this has been an ongoing issue that in 2014 is no reason why we should be pleading for civil rights. I mean, so right about now, it's time for all of us to really, really wake up and stop foolishness. Stop sitting back watching Love and Hip Hop and all of this nonsense that they, you know, distracting you with to take you, like the chairman said. He's talking about some ALS challenge. This is Lou Gehrig's disease. This disease affects the white male population. Why are we concerned with that? I'm not saying that they need to die or whatever, but we got sickle cell. Why nobody dumping ice on them for sickle cell? That's what affects us. So if the longer we continue to play this game with them and fall into their trap and, you know, allow them to continue to cover our eyes, and I don't see how it's covered, because even in the media, I mean, I know firsthand that the Panthers was out there, that the Moors was out there, that the Muslims, the Nation of Islam is out there, but they not show. Of course they not showing you this on media, and if, until BET stops allow, but they done sold out anyway because it's part owned by white people. So again, this goes back to us owning our Black Wall Streets. We got to get back together and build up these communities and do what we have to do for these children. That's the only way we're going to survive right now, because if it's up to them, we'd all be gassed, and as you see, this is what they're doing. We'd all be gassed and put to death. You know, this is why they're bringing in another population of people. Now, I'm not against the Mexicans, but they're bringing them in because they done used and abused us for over 400 years. So now they want to bring in another way of people. So they pass all these little bills and, you know, bring in the immigrants and all this. So they're playing a lot of games with us right now. And it's up to us to get ourselves together, pull up them bootstraps, and get out there and fight for ourselves and our children, because nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. They're not going to sit there and openly admit that they've wronged us for all of these years. Because if they was going to do it, we wouldn't have been getting killed up until now.
It
would have been done. If they was going to educate us, all of the schools in most of the Black neighborhoods are failing. They're being closed. They're being chartered. Chartered is another form of institutionalization. A lot of parents don't realize it, and I wish that they would see that. If your child is getting demerits and sanctions and getting penalized for things that his parent is responsible for, don't tell me that's not institutionalization. Just like the new modern-day slavery. You know, the prison is nothing but modern-day slavery. And a lot of us don't want to believe the fact that we have, Dr. Joy DeGruy wrote a book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And it may not affect all of us in the same exact way, but we are definitely affected, because how could we not be affected by slave syndrome if today we're still slaves? There's the way the system is built, they don't want us to be able to accumulate wealth. And every time we get the opportunity to do it, we sell it. We cannot continue to live like this.
That's right. And we not. Sister, thank you for your call. I got an interest time. I got to get some more callers in. But thank you. You're calling and thank you for the spirit. Keep fighting. Peace and Black Power. Long live the spirit of Khalid Muhammad. Thank you so much. Right, that's heavy, heavy points. Next call here, your area code is 862-755. 862-755. You're on live with Black Power Radio, talking about the aftermath of murder. What are the solutions? Ferguson, Missouri, and the Black Nation in general. Talk to us. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, brother. This is Sister Melody. How are y'all doing today?
Doing fine, sister. How are you?
Oh, okay. I'm down here in Mississippi trying to help organize. Mm-hmm. very well aware of the situation in Ferguson. I've been in touch with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz through texting, and I've been watching the TV as well. And as you know, I'm his direct assistant in New York and in New Jersey. So I've been really researching the solution to the problem. I don't want to discuss the problem because if I discuss the problem, I'm liable to say some things that will get me into some serious trouble. But the solution is organization. We've got to start going to these churches, to these mosques, to all of these places who collect money from our people and start organizing and open new chapters. Before Huey died and they started to disband the party, we had 37, okay, chapters across the country. Now we are lucky if we have how many? Hello?
Yeah, Hello? Keep going, sister. We're listening.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Keep going, man.
I think the amount of chapters that we have is really the problem, and I think the disorganization that we have is really the problem, because they would not come into our neighborhoods and start killing our kids like this if we were organized. We've got to organize with every group. We've all got to sit down somewhere and come together. Attorney Shabazz and I have talked about this since the killing of Trayvon Martin and how the trial went. What happens with the grand jury is that only 9 people have to bring back an answer for a true bill or a non-true bill, okay? The jury is already rigged because you have 9 white males and 3 blacks who are, I guess, females. That's what I've heard. So the 3 females, the 3 black people don't even have a vote, really. They're just there to satisfy the people's anger, okay? Because those 3 white men know the black codes, and the black codes state that no white man shall ever stand trial or be held accountable for the killing of a black man. And we are still under those municipal codes. They have not been taken off the books. So Ferguson, Missouri is one of those places. Florida is one of those places who enforce these municipal laws. And as long as we have them on the books, this is what we're going to be faced with. So my solution to this problem is that we have got to organize. We have got to put together an amicus curiae before the Supreme Court of the United States and demand the abolishment of all laws that are in the spirit of the Black Codes. And this is the only way we're going to stop burying our children. I said this last year when we went through the Trayvon Martin thing. I said, mark my words, if we don't do this, it's going to happen again. And this is just a year later. And it's the same thing. And I explained to you guys, I grew up in the South, and I know what this is. They call this cooning. This is what they call it. They kill our children. And this man shot this boy in the top of his head. When the forensics come back, okay, if we get the right kind of bullet, gunpowder splatter, and that gunpowder splatter is on his clothes and on the top of that boy's head all around, that means he put that gun directly to the top of his head and shot that boy, okay, while he was on his knees. So I don't know how y'all feel about it. I really don't. I've been down here talking to my brothers and, you know, my sisters here and trying to get them to realize that they have to organize a chapter here. And I'm hoping that everybody that I know is doing the same thing, that we have to organize and organize strongly and stop playing, because this is playing. When Attorney Shabazz has to put on my Facebook page that he's calling for Black Panthers to come to Ferguson, he's putting out a call, And I get on the phone and I start calling people and they tell me they don't have no money. This is, you know, like this is like the worst because we're not organized. We don't have money because we don't have a funding system. We have to organize
We got it now, sister. And I think that call was put out to everybody. It wasn't just put out for the Black Panther Party, but it was put out to everybody to come and test the ground during a time when there was a crisis on the ground. And so we did answer the call. I personally and others were there with Attorney Shabazz, so we answered that call. So we appreciate you, and thank you for your words and your comments. And we hope that you will help us to build that chapter there in New York City, because we definitely need New York City. But I gotta move forward and take some more calls. We're running short of time. Thank you so much. Next caller here, area code is 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the aftermath of murder. Now, what's the solution for Ferguson? What's the solution for police terror in the Black community? Welcome, Black Power.
Solution, Brother Sean? I say what it is. I'ma say this. Many times we're going through a lot of stuff that we're going through inside the Black community because, see, some of the elderly people that was in the Black Power movement in the 60s, some of them then died out, some of them then went to jail and everything, and we don't have anybody else to tell a story, teach the youth about the history of what to do. It seems like every century we have to reinvent ourselves. We have to reinvent. We don't have, a lot of the old timers have died out. Some of them don't want to pass that rich legacy on. And I feel some of the elderly, and I'm not saying disrespecting the elderly, I respect the elderly, but I believe many of them have failed the younger people, and this is why we're going through the same situation. We're going through the same thing our great-grandfathers and everything went through.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, some of the people like Malcolm and Martin Luther King, the original Black Panther, all of them, you know, some of them still around, but some of them then died out. And you don't have anybody to put that legacy into the youth, you know. We have to reinvent ourselves every so often.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I'm glad to serve up under you and you. I'm glad that you're the chief of staff, and I'm glad to serve up under Chairman Hashim Nzinga.
Yes, sir. It's interesting that you said that, my brother. I was having a conversation today. I'll keep his name nameless just for the interest of our ongoing talks, but I was talking to an OG member of the Black Panther Party today, very, very, very solid brother, political prisoner, spent some time for the cause, and he was saying the same thing, that he must organize a way sit down with the new Black Panther Party, which here soon will have a nice little sit down, and bridge the gap, because even the OGs recognize that, I say some of the OGs recognize that there are things that were passed down generationally that were not checked in their generation that we have to deal with in today's time, and they're recognizing that if they could give us the wisdom, you know, and some of the historical errors that they made, and we won't go through the same pitfalls and fall in the same trap. So it's very interesting that you're saying that. So that is in the works.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Sean, you know, you keep up the good work, brother. I hope you can come down to New Orleans, you know, it's real soon.
I'd love to. We would love to.
All right, brother. Black Power. I knew you got other people on the phone line.
Okay, brother Comrade Hell. Thank you so much, brother. Stay strong in New Orleans.
All right.
Black Power to you.
All right, Black Power.
Next caller, area code 917-873-917-873. You're here with us on Black Power Radio, talking about the aftermath of murder, the solution for Ferguson, the solution for police terror in the Black nation. Talk to us, your thoughts, questions, comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, National Chief of Staff, Sean Qualley. This is Brother Supreme from New York.
Queens, New York. First things first, I want to say rest in peace to Mike Brown and Eric Gardner. Okay, we got a lot of problems out here in New York, too. I know there's a lot of tension over there in Ferguson, and I'm with my people over there mentally. I mean, I couldn't make it physically, but I'm there mentally. I am keeping in tune with that. I am networking on Facebook with that. So I'm definitely in tune with that, what's going on over there, too. But also in New York, we have a lot of issues out here, too. Okay, the Eric Garner situation is not taking care of with these pigs over here. Okay, these pigs are out of control nationwide, and me and you both know that, okay? And right now, like I reached out to you before because I'm looking for help out here in New York. Okay, there was a sister on the line. I don't know if she's still there. She said something about Elijah. Okay, I soldiered with Elijah, so if the sister's still there, I can reach out to her. I'll give her my number out, and she can call me if she's still there. I don't know, from New York. But, you know, it's just out of control.
Let's see if she's still with us. Are you still with us, sister, from New York?
Black Power. Yeah, I'm still here. Black Power, peace.
Black Power, sister.
Can you all exchange information, please?
Black Power, sister.
Yeah, peace, brother.
This is Brother Supreme. He's with the New York chapter as well.
Okay.
You want to take down my number, sister?
Yeah, I have a pen.
Okay, 917.
Uh-huh.
873.
Uh-huh.
7398.
Okay.
That's 873-7398-917. Brother Supreme. Right. I know Elijah. I worked with him before. I soldiered with him. Shahid, a whole bunch of people, you know. King Samir, hopefully he'll be home soon. I'm waiting for this brother to come home too. You know, it's a lot of work that has to be done on these streets. Like I said, these pigs, these fucking crackers, excuse my language, brother, but this is the way I feel. These crackers is off the hook. Okay, it's getting crazy. They're getting gun crazy. It's like when you put on that uniform with them, it's a license to kill original black people. Bottom line, that's the way I feel about it. Let's unite. We've been talking about this for how long? The New Black Panther Party is doing work in the streets. I want to get back out in the streets and start soldiering, shooting and booting. That's the way I want to do it. I want to get busy. It's time to get busy. Y'all getting busy out there. Down south is doing their thing. New York is doing it, but we need to get more people involved in New York. More comrades need to come out in the streets like it was before the chapters were broken up.
Yes,
in New York.
Sir.
You know what I'm saying, brother? And
yes,
I'm ready. I'm ready to get shooting and booted and back out in the streets. So, sister, when this call is finished, can you please contact me and we can get in contact? I want to get in contact with Elijah, and I want to start getting back to what it was before in New York. We got to get this chapter situated in New York. Black Power.
Definitely. I'll put you on the three-way with him.
All right, Black Power, sister.
Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Black Power, thank you, Brother Supreme.
Yes, sir.
That's good work. It's good work. New York stepping up. New York stepping up, and it's needed. Justice for Eric Garner. Eric Garner deserves justice. And hell, we still salty over all the police murders from New York City, period. But we do need a strong organization in New York. So anybody in New York, fall in, and let's get going. Next call, here, your air code again, another 917-724. 917-724. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Talking about the aftermath of murder, solutions for Ferguson, Missouri, Michael Brown, police terror in the black community. Welcome to the show, Black Power. Talk to us.
How you doing? I'm Brother Mike from the Brooklyn chapter.
Under yes, Elijah. Sir. Doing fine, Brother Mike. Uh-huh.
Good. How you doing?
Doing all right, my brother. What's your thoughts?
I was listening to the whole thing, and just like Sister Precise said, something gotta happen because they keep doing the same thing, and then like the other sister said, they got laws protecting themselves. Like I didn't even know that. So that was, I learned something today, and so now we gotta do something, whether it's going to the Supreme Court or however we gotta do it to protect ourselves, because there really shouldn't be a law like that specifically states white men can kill black men and get away with it. Like, that's absurd. So, like, that said, and I was on here last week talking about black unity and all that stuff. And, like, there's different groups, like activist groups, that's for the same cause, but we go by a different ways. And, like, we support, I know as Black Panthers, like, we support them doing their thing in their own way. But I passed my uncle today in the street, and he's with the National Action Network. And he was telling me that I should join the National Action Network. I didn't tell him I was with the Black Panthers. But he just told me, I said, yeah, if I want to join the activist group, because they're bigger and they do more. But even so, as an activist group, you can support other ones that's for the same cause, no matter how small or big they are. And that's one of the things we got to do.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
Yeah, definitely. So we gotta make some changes, and whatever we decide when we get together, or the heads up get together and decide how we're gonna go about doing this, or what action needs to be taken. Like, that's what we need to set in motion and get these brothers out here to take action. Because walking around Brooklyn, like, you'll be, like, I'm not really surprised, but the brothers, they are hyped. Like, they are excited to see us out here and trying to make a change in the community. Like, and that feels good, knowing that they know their history, and they willing to help, whether it be to join or whatever they could do.
So, yes, sir. So, yes, sir. I got it.
Just going little by little. Just going little by little.
Take some more calls, bro.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate your comment. You stay strong in the New York chapter, brother. And I help Brother Elijah and the comrades build up that region, please.
Definitely.
All right, brother. Black power.
Black power.
Long live the spirit of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Next call here, area code 314-665. 314-665. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about we need solutions for Ferguson, solutions for police terror in the Black nation. What's your thoughts, your questions, comments? Welcome to Black Power.
Black Power, peace and love. This is Brother Ali, Minister of Justice and Law for the St. Louis chapter.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I just want to, pretty much add to what our other callers, our other comrades were saying. First of all, shout out to the New York chapter, Brother Elijah out there. They definitely been helping. They sent some care packages down and some donations, man. So shouts out to them, big black power to them, and everybody else out there who made donations and supporting us out here on the ground, because, you know, as you heard and seen, it's been a tough, you know, battle. But however, you know, we standing tall. Shout out to Black Power, to our national chairman, Hashim Nzinga, for coming down, Malik Zulu Shabazz, everybody who just been holding down, putting things down on the front line here in Ferguson. Shout out to the St. Louis chapter and all of our comrades out there in the struggle. As far as solutions, I agree with what everybody who preceded me said in regards to, as far as the sister speaking on the black hole laws and how they're still active on the books. We definitely have to address those and recall those, or pretty much scratch them off as null and void, you know. And my solution is how we do that is definitely applying the international laws which are in place. That further secure our rights. Of course, there are our constitutional rights, our human rights, but we must also know that there are already international laws in place, which include genocide as defined by the United Nations General Assembly adopted in 1948. So we can, once we start to arm ourselves with the necessary jargon, the legal languages and the international law, we then can, you know, automatically, you know, once we apply these laws to our situation and enforce these laws and, you know, as she said, recall them and get them off the books, you know, we have things to emphasize and further, as I said, secure our rights, you know, because in actuality, all of their municipalities, ordinances, and policies are, in fact, null and void, given that they are against the Constitution, you know. They are not in line and in harmony with the laws, the true law of the land, you know. So that's part of my solution.
Yes, sir. And that's what you should say as a minister of law and justice. We have witnessed flagrant violations of the law on behalf of those who have taken an oath to uphold and serve the law. We've witnessed flagrant constitutional abuses. We witnessed flagrant civil abuses, human abuses. We've witnessed flagrant violations across the board. And so we know that you'll be present when Attorney Shabazz, Black Voice for Justice, New Black Panther Party delivers the terms on this lawsuit against the city of Ferguson, Missouri, and the authorities there and those responsible for the intimidation, the mishandling, misconduct, brutality, so on and so forth, of our people. Well said from you, Brother Minister Law and Justice. We appreciate your comment.
Black Power, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Black Power. Witnessed it. We've seen this. Let me take another call in as time is moving. Next call, 646-204-646-204. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the aftermath of the murder. What's the solution for Ferguson? What's the solution for police terror in the black community? Talk to us. Give us your thoughts, your questions, comments. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. First thing I want to give you and the Central Committee a big Black Power salute for your effort out there in Ferguson. I'm very happy and appreciative to serve under such a remarkable bunch of brothers and sisters. And secondly is being the MOD of the New York chapter under Commander Elijah Judah, I think a lot of people, I've heard all of our comrades' comments, and, you know, I agree with and I stand on everybody's comments. But one of the things that I've noticed when we go out on our patrols is we have to put – one of the things that most people is missing is the people have to trust us. That's mm-hmm. where a lot of things are lacking in the brown skin community is trust, because there's a lot of things that people know – that can be instituted, but if they don't trust you to institute them, then they won't get done. Some of these sciences that you heard all these comments today, many people have these sciences, but they don't want to share with them because they feel that if they share these sciences with you, you get reckless with them and then mess it up for how these things got implemented in the first place, like the slave codes, the 1824 slave codes, like Melanie talked about. People have to, one of the things that I wanted to institute was a law library so people can have access to laws, rules, regulations, statutes, codes, things like that. But we have to develop a trust among each other to be able to get things done and make things happen as a nation, as a people, and as a party. If that's not developed and we always dependent on other individuals to be able to make things happen and get things done outside of ourselves, then it's not going to work. So my solution to a lot of this is we have to trust one another first. I think that's key, if anything.
Yes, sir. That is key, because we know that the trust apparatus of our community, the backbone of our community, has been shattered. We know that we've been made to distrust each other, and so that's going to be a critical part. And us having unity as a people and overcoming our obstacles is the trust factor. So I totally agree with you. We have to rebuild the trust, brother. Thank you for your time.
All power to the people. Black power.
All right. Power to the people. Black power. Trust. Trust. Big factor here in overcoming our obstacles. Trusting each other. Next call here, air code 904-631. 904-631. You're on live with Black Power Radio with the aftermath of murder in Ferguson. What are some solutions to police terror? What are the solutions that you see to handle this situation? Welcome, Black Power. Talk to us. Last call, air code 904-631. Your mic is open. You're on live. Okay, may just be listening. Air code 347-876. 347-876. You're on live with Black Power Radio talking about the aftermath of murder in Ferguson, Missouri. What are some solutions to police terror in the black community? Give us your thoughts. Your question or comment, please. Welcome to Black Power.
Black Power. This is Sister Yaa Santoi calling from Brooklyn, New York. Black Power to the entire New Black Panther Party and all the other people who are fighting for justice. I was thinking about what Dr. Khalid said when Amadou Diallo was shot down like an animal 41 times here in New York City. Dr. Khalid said that when the bodies start rolling in the white community, the way they're rolling in our community, that's when it's going to stop. And I say the same thing that Dr. Khalid say. We just playing games, and as far as these laws go, these laws is not written for us. We have to prepare to be separate and have our own government and our own laws. As long as you looking for the white man to write a law to justify what he's done to you, then you're looking for nothing. You're wasting your time. The time is that we need to get out here and take care of business, and we need an economic national movement to close down America's commerce. That is the only thing that Cracker understands, is when you move on him the way he moved on you. That's what he understands. And all this other stuff about these black codes and white codes, these codes don't mean anything if we continue to stand around and allow them to murder our babies in the street like that. See, the difference between the people who were fighting before is that they didn't mind giving it up. They weren't trying to get a title and brag about titles that they have and things that they know. No, they took to the street and took care of business, and that's what we got to do. And, brother, I got to give to Brother Elijah. I am now the deputy administrator of the African Nationalist Pioneer Movement, which holds the legacy of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey's parade. Well, this is our 73rd year, and the security that I received from the New Black Panther Party under the leadership of Brother Elijah was awesome. I've always been around the party, but I've always been the one, you know, observing and doing other things. But I've never had that kind of security on me. And I thought it was just awesome what they did. And I was very touched and moved by it. And I just wanted to let the leadership know that Brother Elijah is the one here in New York City. See, we need somebody that's not wrapped up in titles. We need somebody that's going to get on the ground and do the work and show respect and trust for the ones that are doing the work. So I say to you, brothers, take what Khalid said. Try it out. See what happens. See what happens. When those caskets start rolling in the white community the way they're rolling in our community, that's when that devil going to sit down and discuss something with you more on a serious level. Right now, it's nothing but games. You play this law stuff all you want. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And like Khalid said in his last message, and I host, my husband and I host that message, he said, you're going to have to fight this cracker. And that's what time it is.
All right.
Black power. Peace.
Black power. Sister Yaa Santoi, it is excellent to hear your voice. And we always have to say, long live the spirit of your husband. Long live his spirit, Brother Oba. Brother Oba. Long live Brother Oba and the idea and work of the African Merchant Circle. And we thank you, sister, for holding the line, not only for the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, but for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And she is correct. The Black Power General did say that. He said we would have to one day meet our enemy in the streets. He did say that. And so we have to try by all means to, of course, use tactical methods and legal methods and economic methods and boycott methods. And we got to use all kinds of methods. We got to fight this beast with everything. But at the end of it all, still gonna have to have that time, as Dr. Khalid called, payback time. That's what Dr. Khalid said, was payback time, where he said when you kill one of ours in self-defense, then one of yours goes. And so all of that is there, and all of that is in the universe, and all of that is permeating through the people. And so you can feel it in the air, and you know that, as Sam Cooke say, a change is going to come. And a change is here. And so change is rough. You know what I mean? Change is a rough thing. And change can be a very harsh thing. But at the end of it, you know, through the end of that process is a cleansing. So I encourage everybody to stay strong. Stay strong. Stay rooted. Or get rooted in something that will carry you through this hour. I encourage everyone to not only support the works of the New Black Panther Party, but join the New Black Panther Party, the only revolutionary black nationalist organization holding the line, which is the front line. While most Facebooked it, most tweeted it, most talked about it and conversated on it, some debated it, some read it out of a book, some liked the photograph. But the New Black Panther Party took to the front line. And whatever came and whatever came with being on the front lines, the New Black Panther Party was there on behalf of our people. And still there, as you can clearly see. So, we need more brothers and sisters to fill the ranks. We need you to also go to newblackpanther.org and make a donation to the organization. Support the works, and we need all kinds of supplies. If they're going to tear gas the hell out of us, we need gas masks to move through the clouds. Need all kind of stuff to protect ourselves and protect the people to accomplish these goals of freedom, justice, and equality, and justice for Michael Brown. Make sure that you read the plan of action from our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, as he wants to empower the voters, empower the vote. He wants to empower you to be able to exercise your political power, to be able to pull crooked deceivers out of office and place the Adam Clayton Powell types in office who will support the cause. He wants to recall that mayor and the city councilman, take over the politics in the community, which is black nationalists. Want to search with the National Conference of Black Mayors to find a black mayor for that 63% to some say 70% black town and other black towns and cities. And then boycott the businesses that are supporting the officer, Dorian Wilson, who killed Mike Brown. All of you who are financing the slaughter of our young brother, we boycott you, whether white, black, red, yellow, brown. We boycott you and put you in an economic stranglehold. And so you make sure you go to newblackpanther.org and stay in tune with the plan of action. Stay up to date with what we're doing. Make sure that you go to the site and give a donation to help us to keep the organization moving and grooving in the black way. And make sure that you join. Call area code 347-903-0886, 347-903-0886, or email us at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. It is that time to stand up. It is that time to stand up. So remember, call, we say black power for black people. You hear my brother say power to the people. And remember this as I leave you. If black people are not free, there's nobody in the world that's free. Let us all unite. Let us all come together. And let us all do what we have to do. We'll close out with The Struggle Continues. Black power.
From a two-loose, you pour up in the rocket, so they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.